Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your homeschool companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. And today I'm going to read the devotion from Sweet Tea for the Soul, Down Home Devotions to Comfort the Heart. And the title is Nitpicker. It is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Proverbs 23. Certain people are so persnickety, they could pick a fight with an empty house. Nothing ever satisfies or pleases them. Enough is never enough. They will find fault with you or a situation just to start up an argument. There's no peace with such a person. A conflict-free conversation is not possible, even about trivial matters. And the worst part is they have little or no insight or self-awareness about what they do to those around them. It's their way or the highway. Nitpickers are not ruled by reason, persuasion, or self-control. With that said, absolutely anyone can be changed and transformed by the grace of God. The best way to deal with an argumentative fool is to stop wasting your time trying to defend yourself and pray for them. And our faith check is, don't allow such a person to steal your peace or joy. Cease from arguing with them. That is what fuels their behavior. Instead, take all your frustrations to the Lord in prayer and praise. And we have many prayer requests. Our nation is hurting right now. And we're going to start with Devon. Devon is asking us to pray for their dad. He's in ICU on life support. They can't visit him because of the virus, and it's so hard. So we're going to remember to hold him up. And then Chloe, her whole family is showing symptoms of the COVID-19 virus. Her husband has weak lungs, and she has issues as well. And they're right now still at home, but very worried. So remember Chloe and Devon. And then we have another person whose name is June, but it's June, like a male June. Anyway, his wife is very sick with COVID-19. And then we're praying for Cheryl's husband, Bill. So let's hold these people up. Dear Heavenly Father, I hold up to you Devon and the situation with their father in ICU. Just send your comfort and healing hand on him and restore him to health. And I pray for Chloe and her whole family, which all of them are experiencing symptoms of the COVID-19 virus. Just be a comfort to them and healing to them. And I pray for June and his wife, who is critical today because of the COVID-19. And I pray for Cheryl and her husband, Bill. Just send your healing hand upon him and his lung cancer, that he may be totally well. And Lord, I hold up to you Tammy's sister-in-law, Cecilia. She's 50 years old and has cerebral palsy, and today her test came back positive for COVID-19. And you know how fearful we are, Lord. Just give us the peace that passes understanding. We know you're coming soon, and we pray for comfort for these families. We pray for our leaders and the choices that they have to make concerning our country. We pray for those around the world who are serving you and working their hardest through all of this global crisis. We thank you, Lord, for your comfort. Thank you that we can bring this show into everyone's home. May they be comforted by it and just be thrilled to know that We are your followers, and you have our best interests at heart. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Well, we're doing arts and crafts, and today this is an integrated project that you can do with air pressure. We've been talking about air for a number of weeks, and this particular air pressure experiment requires an empty water bottle, a small amount of clay, a straw, and water. Most of us have that in our garbage can for that much. So first of all, this air pressure activity takes a number of steps. You cut a small length of straw. You plug one end of the straw with Play-Doh. On the opposite end of the straw, you make a ring of Play-Doh outside of the straw so that the straw is weighted down, but it's still open on that end. You fill the bottle with about 3/4 full of water, and you drop the straw into the bottle and screw on the lid. Now's the fun part. And you know, if you have one of those big liter clear bottles, it's really fun. But you can do this just with a water bottle. Just make sure you can see it. So you squeeze the bottle as hard as you can and you watch what happens. The straw will sink. Now, tip, if the straw is not sinking, try squeezing the bottle at the top where there is no water. And also try lifting the bottle off the table when you squeeze. You can actually see how pressure works. So one of the things I've been asking my students is to just make a list of ways that they're exerting pressure. For example, when you swing, you can feel the air pressure, the resistance as you swing. When you're teeter-tottering, when you're running, walking, all of these things are air pressure. And when you bring it to their attention, it's pretty cool. So that's the little arts and crafts integrated with STEM and science today. For our curriculum corner, we're going to discuss what writing skills a third grader should have by the end of third grade, ready for fourth grade. And if this means you need to do a little something through the summer, if you're going to a traditional school, or if you're homeschooling, what you want to do to prepare your child for the fourth grade. So in their writing, they should be able to use linking words such as because, since, therefore. For example, they should know how to write a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end. They should know some basic editing marks, and they should know how to revise their own work and also correct their work with your marks. So you might need to review yourself what the editing marks are. I like to actually make that a unit of study where we have the editing marks and we set up a bingo for it. And I do this starting at a young age so everybody in the family can play editing marks bingo. They should know how to write different types of paragraphs at their own level and understand prefix, suffixes, homophones, homographs, root words. And they should be able to write in cursive. That is our goal, that a third grader can write in cursive. It doesn't always happen, but is such a great tool, especially if your child is dyslexic. Learning to write in cursive, they aren't having to bring their pen up and figure out where to set it down again. It becomes one smooth word, and their brain literally learns the words. Great tool. Takes a lot of discipline at first. Self-discipline and encouraging your child that this really will help them. They should know some basic proper punctuation, and they should understand the parts of speech, such as nouns, verbs, adverbs, adjectives. Up to the third grade, we've been calling it the naming part and the telling part of the sentence, but now they really need to know the nouns and verbs and adverbs and adjectives and how those parts of the speech make up the whole. So that is my curriculum corner advice. Questions parents ask. So the question today is from Josh and Tracy, and they want to know what you have used to teach your child to read. and they feel like it's not really their child's strong suit. And I'm here to tell you that every child learns to read differently. There's all kinds of curriculums out there. Abeka Orton-Gillingham is specifically designed for children who might have difficulty reading, and it is a wonderful program. It costs money, but it's well worth the money because it gives your child the tools that they need. There's also curriculums called Code and Alpha Phonics, Sing, Spell, Read, and Write. All of those are good curriculums. My Father's World, Hooked on Phonics. You as the parent need to do one of two things. First of all, not put undue pressure. Not even think, you knew that word last week, why didn't you know it now? But to consistently encourage, read to your child, do paired shared. I love doing paired shared because I read a sentence and then my child reads a sentence. Then I read a sentence and then they read a sentence. So they get the idea of the punctuation. So many children think, oh, I need to read fast, and they just skip over the periods and the commas. But when they hear you reading, then they read. And of course, I have to put a plug in here for my little I Can Read books. I actually use those to teach beginner readers because they're an actual book. Questions parents ask. Well, one of the biggest questions that parents always ask is how they can get help with teaching their child to read. And I know I talked earlier about my I Can Read books. And I'm going to put PDFs of these little books on my Pinterest site, and you can go there. It has the spelling in the back of the book, spelling words. Give 10 a day, and it has activities that you can do. And I just recommend making reading fun. Well, my guest for the later part of the show today is Shannon Perry, and you won't want to miss this. I mean, if you'll remember, she's the guest I had a while back, and she told the story of something smelling, and later she found out it was a sandwich that she had buried in her purse, and all of us have had those experiences, so please come back the second half. Welcome back. I'm so glad you stayed with us because I'm interviewing Shannon Perry. She's famous for, you know, Grace in High Heels and some other books that she's written, The Overlooked Generation, Parenting Teens and Tweens in a Complicated Culture, and Staying Balanced with Answers for Real Teen Life. Today we're going to talk about Grace and Guts, Strategies for Living a Knockout Life. I don't need to tell you that she holds a master's degree in education and counseling, and she's certified in parenting and crisis counseling. Her articles have appeared numerous places, and I just love it whenever I get to interview you. So thank you so much for being with us, and let's just... You know, we're going to talk about this latest book, Bullying in the Workplace. It has a really cute picture. Is this of you looking between two pink boxing gloves?
That is me, Rose. Yes, my publicist had that fabulous idea.
It's so cute.
And that just went along with what I was feeling like that was happening to me in my life at the time. First of all, you know, it's always nice to be remembered for leaving a sandwich in your purse. So there's, of course, more funny stories in here. But I was going through a time in my life where I felt like I was just in a boxing ring and just kept getting hit over and over and over with things that were happening. And so we said, well, why don't we just do a boxing theme? And so that's why the cover looks like that. And the pink gloves, yes, ironically enough, were given to me by a dear friend. I was telling her at dinner one night the idea that I had for this book, and I said, I want to call it Grace and Guts, but I want it to be a boxing theme. But where am I going to find pink gloves? And she handed me her keys. True story. Handed me her keys and said, go look in the back seat of my Jeep. And I walked outside, and she had pink boxing gloves in her back seat. And she was going to use them for her kickboxing class and decided that she didn't want them anymore. And so those are the gloves on the front of the book.
Well, this is an awesome topic because a lot of times we as adults suffer. And you're saying that in the workplace, males bully females 65% of the time. Females bully other females 67% of the time. And more than 30% of employers do not do anything about it, even if they're told about it.
Yes, that's right. And I wrote about bullying because I was bullied as a kid, Rose. And a lot of people listening may even have their children maybe going through times of bullying. But as adults, we get bullied too, you know. And there's things that we're told about ourselves, whether it's, and it turns into abusive situations many times. And I was asked to write about adult bullying by actually a guy who was interviewing me on a radio station. He said, this doesn't just happen to kids, this happens to adults. And the workplace is one of those places, and it's really hard when your boss is involved in it sometimes.
Yes.
And so that's why we wrote about that in the book. But going back to the bullying section, when I was young, I was bullied as a kid, and I would go home at night and I would ask my mom and dad, you know, what is wrong with me? Why are these kids making fun of me in the neighborhood? And I was a little overweight. And so that's where I really learned about grace, Rose, was from my mom and my dad, because grace is unmerited favor. And I had that from my mom and my dad, the way they treated me when I was being bullied. They would say, honey, you're beautiful the way you are, and we love you the way you are. And that's what God does for us. And I didn't understand. And of course, when I was small, but as I got older, that's where I first saw grace. And the funny thing is, for those who are listening who have children who are being bullied, don't give up, because God has a way of showing his grace too. The year between my sixth grade year and my seventh grade year, I grew 6 inches in one summer. And so not only was I taller than my bullies, I was also thinner than my bullies. So grace, grace, and more grace.
Right? Yes, be careful who you mistreat, because it'll come back. Well, let's take a minute and just go through. We won't give it all away, because of course we do want our listeners to go and read more, but let's start with chapter one. It says the grace and guts to conquer exhaustion.
Yes.
And this has to do with caring for yourself while maybe you're caring for others.
Yes. And one of the things that I think we have to remember when we're dealing with exhaustion, and it's hard to do, but it's so important, is just to have that first time, quiet time in the morning with God. When we wake up, and I always encourage people to journal, because a lot of times I find when I'm journaling, I get things out on my journal that I didn't even realize were really bothering me, that were stressing me out. Mm-hmm. And stress causes exhaustion.
Yeah.
And so while we feel like we can't give that time away, I think it's important that we give that time away, because that's where he rearranges our schedule for the day. That's where he gives us his word to help comfort those things in us that feel exhausted, those times where we're just worn out, where we can find that rest. And also, we need to take time to rest. You know, we have the Sabbath for a reason.
That's right.
And in today's world, we're running around even on Sundays, going to ball games and going to this sporting event and, you know, doing 50, even church activities are good things. Mm-hmm. But we have to take that time to rest. When we take that time to just renew our bodies, renew our minds, then it's amazing how we feel we're able to deal with things in life that we would never be able to deal with otherwise.
So sometimes we might even be the hardest on ourselves. We might be bullying ourselves because we're not taking that time to rejuvenate.
Absolutely.
To create. Yes. To reflect. So the second chapter says the grace and guts to handle betrayal. Mm. You know, every year when I come to NRB, I begin to see a theme. And so already I've interviewed a number of people about betrayal and forgiveness. Mm. So tell me your take on how to, and I love the title or subtitle, which says staying off the ropes when you're hit with a sucker punch.
Mm-hmm. Well, a sucker punch, betrayal is a sucker punch.
Yes.
And I always remind people, we can't be betrayed by anyone we didn't care about and we didn't love. Because
that's
people
true.
Who hurt us, then if they betray us, this doesn't really feel like betrayal. It doesn't affect us. But when people we love, who told us they would, gave us their word that they would stay, gave us their word that they would always be there, when they betray us, that's where that deep soul wound comes in. And Jesus understood that, because Judas betrayed him, and this was somebody he lived with. This was someone who walked with him, who did life with him. And so when Jesus was betrayed by Judas, even though he knew it was coming, it was hurtful. Yes. It was painful, but he chose to love him and he chose to forgive him. Now, one of the things I teach in the women's conferences, when I go out, I do a women's conference in Grace and Guts, and I often remind the ladies, betrayal and forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't always mean we have a relationship with that person. There are times, not all the time, because we're told to forgive and to love our enemies. We can love many of them up close, but there may be someone in our life who has betrayed us. And if we forgive them, then they show us over and over they still can't be trusted. Yes. Those are people we love from a distance. And so it's important to use discernment, that we are able to pray and ask for God to give us discernment to know, who do we let through that gate in our lives?
Yes.
And so we oftentimes, I believe, as women especially, we open that gate because we're natural caretakers. We're naturally love people. Most of us just, you know, want people to be happy. We're peacemakers. And so we just begin to open our gates up and let people in that sometimes not necessarily belong there. And so we have to really pray and ask the Lord for discernment on that. And if we don't have a relationship with that person, doesn't mean you can't love them. The person actually who I wrote that book, that chapter about in the book, I crossed paths with that person not too long ago. And I will tell you, I was able to say, hi, how are you doing? And hug them and say, I love you. And I do, but I don't have that close relationship that I used to have because there was trust broken over and over.
Yes. And it has to do with, you know, boundaries and not having this eternal belief that, you know, you can make it all right again. Sometimes you cannot make it all right again. It might be a very toxic situation. You have to let it go. Don't be codependent on it.
That's right.
So chapter 3, The Grace and Guts to Crush Insecurity and Inferiority. That's pretty big there. Champion self-esteem, self-worth, and confidence.
Well, insecurity was a big thing for me, and I think it is for a lot of us. There's always something in our lives. You know, if we had it all together, we wouldn't need him. And so insecurity was one of those things I dealt with based on being bullied, I believe, is where a lot of my insecurity came from. And Rose, I tell a story about the first time I ever stepped onto a stage to speak. There were over 1,000 women in that group, and 999 of them had a smile on their face, and they looked so happy. But there was that one on the front row that looked like she had just eaten a jar of pickles. And of course, she looked me up and down, and immediately those roots of insecurity like sprouted wings. And I thought, oh my, I just want to get off of here. Lord, get me off of this stage. I'll never do this again. And I got through it somehow, and I got a standing ovation by the grace of God, and I got off the stage. But when I went to the back of the room, guess who was the first person to the table to buy one of everything on the table? It was Miss Pickles. And so I learned that night, you know what? Insecurity, when we have that root of insecurity, we interpret everything through that root of insecurity. And we have to remember, you know what, we have to allow God to heal that root, because as long as we have that root, we can't heal that root on our own. I know there's a lot of books that say, you know, it's mind control and things, and it is important for us to think differently, but we do that based on what God's word says about us, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We don't believe the lies that we tell ourselves.
Wow.
And that's where we get that knockout punch, that where we win in the ring of life is from God's word.
Well, we've come to the end of our show. I'm so happy you spent this time with us. I look forward to interviewing you again soon. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word. mrgmediaministries.com.